Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you are a regular listener, why not plan to visit Beth Emmanuel in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin for one of the holidays? Join us in the fall for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or Sukkot, or come visit in the springtime and spend Passover or Shavuot with us. All the holidays are special at Beth Emmanuel. You can contact us to request details by clicking on the Contact tab on our website. And remember to support Beth Emmanuel with your prayers and financial gifts.
And these are the two big poles of Jewish history, the shofar at Mount Sinai and the shofar of Messiah. And so Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev yearned and prayed every day for the coming of the Messiah, and he was always straining his ears to hear that dissonant sound of the shofar of Messiah. And he used to negotiate with Hashem during the high holidays because he considered himself to be the defense attorney of Israel. And so before the shofar service began, he would always be the Machri who read out the blast, and before the shofar service began, he would pull stunts, and he with Hashem, he'd say, "Master of the world, do you really think we're going to sound the shofar before you this year? If you don't forgive our sins and send the redemption, then let the angels sound the shofar before you this year." And he would go on like this at some length, and then he'd finally say, "Despite all that, we love you with an eternal love, and therefore we bend our will to your will and cry out, Tekiah!" And the shofar service would start. And it was always like this with Rabbi Levi Yitzhak. Once he explained to his disciples, there are those who hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and then there are those who hear the shofar every day of the year. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to waken us from a spiritual slumber. The shofar is supposed to jar us awake, inspire us to reevaluate our lives. You know, to go home and think about our lives, and consider our ways, mend our lives, improve ourselves with repentance, prayer, and charity. Most of the time, however, we do not carry the sound of the shofar very long. Our New Year resolutions, you know, we make these resolutions on New Year's. We take our sins and throw them in the water at Tashlich. Boop. It's never going to do that again. Bloop. Right. It doesn't last very long. It's not very long. We grow lax. We grow lax in tshuva, in tefillah, in tzedakah, repentance, prayer, and charity. So Rabbi Levi Yitzhak wanted his disciples to have Rosh Hashanah every day, to hear the shofar every day, to keep them spiritually alert, stay awake, to keep his disciples from falling into the slumber and lethargy of normal life, of materialism and sin. So Levi Yitzhak explained that we need to listen for an inner shofar, the echo of the shofar of Mount Sinai, the shofar that sounded louder and louder on the day that Hashem descended onto the mountain, the day of the revelation, and on the day that all Israel heard the shofar. You know, it wasn't just that generation standing there at Mount Sinai. This is what the sages teach. You know, it's this mystical idea. It's in the Talmud. It's in the Midrash. That it wasn't just that generation that was standing there. As Moses said, it's not just us who are standing here today. It wasn't just that generation, but rather every generation of the Jewish people was standing at Mount Sinai in that day. The neshama, the soul of every Jewish person was standing at Mount Sinai to hear the Ten Commandments, and to hear the sound of that shofar. And not just that, but the soul of every proselyte, every proselyte was standing there too. And not just that, but according to Midrash Tanhuma, the soul of every God-fearing Gentile was standing there at Mount Sinai as well, to hear the sound of the shofar and to hear the Ten Commandments spoken at Mount Sinai. The voice of the shofar and the trumpet grew louder and louder. So this inner shofar should remind us of Mount Sinai. And in addition to reminding us of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, the great revelation, it should remind us of the future revelation, the great revelation of the coming of the Messiah. And it should inspire us, therefore, to repent and to prepare the way for the redemption. Prepare the way for Messiah. That's the shofar. The shofar. You hear the shofar? Could be Mashiach. So, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do we associate the coming of the Messiah with the blowing of a trumpet? Why? Why do we associate the coming of Messiah with the blowing of a trumpet, with the blowing of the shofar? You might think, well, that's an obvious, there's an obvious answer to that. I mean, it's all over the New Testament. We have all these New Testament passages. We just heard a bunch of them from the Bema about the coming of the Messiah. Yeshua teaches, he said to his disciples, he said that when the Son of Man comes, he will send his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. We know that. Matthew 24, verse 31. And then there's Paul in his epistles. He elaborates on the shofar theme. We heard that from 1 Thessalonians 4, and we heard that from 1 Corinthians 15. When Messiah comes, he will descend with the blast of the shofar. The dead will rise and meet Messiah in the air. Then God will quicken the bodies of those believers who are alive at the time of his coming, and he will transform their bodies from the mortal to the immortal state, and they will ascend, following the resurrected, to meet the Messiah. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, and of course there's the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the trumpet of Messiah is the last trumpet in a series of seven angelic trumpet blasts, culminating with that seventh trumpet, right? So it's all over the New Testament. But that does not explain why Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev associated the shofar with the coming of the Messiah, or why Judaism associates the coming of the Messiah with the blowing of the shofar. You know, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev was not reading the New Testament. Judaism is not deriving this from the New Testament. It's, you know, Rabbi Levi was not a believer in Jesus. He wasn't reading Matthew or Thessalonians or Corinthians or Revelation. So to find out why Judaism associates the coming of the Messiah with the sound of the shofar, I'm going to read you a midrash from an obscure source. This is, if you're interested, Midrash Tana Devei Eliyahu Zuta. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14, to start with, and I'll show you a few prophecies. I'm just going to bring you through a series of prophecies about the trumpet of Messiah. The Midrash says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha said, the ram's horn that we blow, the ram's horn shofar, was created for the benefit of Israel. By means of the shofar, the Torah was given to Israel, as it is written in Exodus 19:19, when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And by means of the voice of the shofar, the walls of Jericho fell down, as it's written in Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the shofars. And when the people heard the sound of the shofar, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. And it is the shofar that the Holy One, blessed is He, is destined to blow when the Son of David, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Messiah, our righteousness, will reveal Himself, as it's written, here's your verse, Zechariah 9:14, then the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. Again, the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds. Now, does this verse say anything about the Messiah? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha says that this is the evidence that Hashem is destined to blow the shofar when the Son of David comes. So does the verse say actually anything about the Messiah? No, it does not. But it's understood that the revelation of Hashem refers to the Messianic era. The Messiah is the revelation of Hashem. So when it says, the Lord will appear over them, Hashem will appear over them, what does that mean? Does it mean the unseen God is suddenly visible? It means that the Messiah, who is the glory of Hashem, will appear. He is the select arrow that will go forth like lightning. As it says in Isaiah 49, verse 2, in the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Hashem's arrow, which is the Messiah, will go forth like lightning, as Yeshua says, for as lightning comes from the east to the west, and it shines from the east to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. All right, so that's one, Zechariah chapter 9. Turn over to Isaiah. Pick up a few from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13, because the Midrash continues. Tana Deve Eliyahu Zuta goes on and says, the ram's horn, we're already working on this. The shofar that the Holy One, blessed is he, is destined to blow when the Son of David, Mashiach, the Kingdom, Messiah, righteousness will reveal himself. It's also the shofar that the Holy One, blessed is he, is destined to blow when he leads the exiles of Israel into their land. As it is said, and here's your verse, Isaiah 27:13. It will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who are perishing in the land of Assyria and who are scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. This is the main proof text. This is the proof text, the main reason that Judaism associates the sounding of the trumpet with the coming of Messiah. There it is, Isaiah 27:13. This is the one that the master was alluding to, that Paul is alluding to in these passages. But look again, look at the verse very, very closely. Does the verse actually say anything about the Messiah? No, it does not. It does not say, in that day a great trumpet will be blown and then the Messiah will come. It doesn't say that. Instead, it says a great trumpet will be blown and then the exiles of Israel will come back to the Holy Land and worship Hashem in his temple. That's what it says. So at the time of the final redemption, the great shofar is going to sound. God's going to gather the scattered exiled people, bring them back to the land of Israel, and they will worship Hashem in a restored temple in Jerusalem. That's what the verse is about. It doesn't say anything about the Messiah. I mean, from a purely Christian reading of the verse, from Christian eschatology, you might pass right over this without even thinking of the Messiah. But from a Jewish reading of the verse, this is obviously saying that the great trumpet will be blown to herald King Messiah. Well, it doesn't even say that. Where do we get that? How do we get that? Why? Because it's the Messiah's job description. It's the Messiah's job to gather the scattered exiles of Israel, to bring them back to the land of Israel. It's the Messiah's job to restore the temple in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. So from a Jewish reading, the verse is obviously about the Messiah because it's talking about the work of the Messiah. Therefore, Jewish eschatology links the sound of the shofar with the coming of Messiah. And according to Rav Sadia Gaon, in his list of 10 reasons we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, this is the second one from the top, to remember the ingathering of the exiles. The shofar heralds the coming of King Messiah. And this is just one of many prophecies, of course, about this big event, the ingathering and the final redemption, the ingathering of the exiles of Israel in the final redemption. For like in Ezekiel, for example, the Lord says, I will seek the lost sheep, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. I will take you from the nations, gather you from the lands, bring you into your own land. Or how about this from Zechariah chapter 10. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Zechariah chapter 10. He says, I will whistle for them to gather them together. I don't know. I mean, I can't. You know how people do that? Like they put their, they go, they like make that really loud whistle. That's the shofar of Hashem, I can't whistle very loud. But if I could, I would do a really loud whistle now so that you would hear it and think, that's the shofar of Hashem. He says he will whistle to gather his people together like a shepherd whistling for the flock. For I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before. When I scatter them among the peoples, they will remember me in faraway countries. They, with their children, will live and come back. I will bring them back from the land of Egypt, gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, until no room can be found for them. This is Zechariah chapter 10. Hosea says, at that time, they will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from the land of Assyria. And the Lord will settle them in their houses. You might have noticed a theme here. These prophecies keep mentioning the exiles in Egypt, the exiles in Assyria. Egypt and Assyria are two major seats of civilization in the ancient Near East. You know, the exiles of the 10 tribes were concentrated in Egypt and Assyria. But that isn't to limit the ingathering only to the Middle East. Rather, the Torah says, Moses says, he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Even if your outcasts are at the ends of the earth. Where's the ends of the earth? It's Iowa. Even if there's Jewish people in Iowa, from there the Lord your God will gather you. From there he will bring you back. So the final redemption will be so extensive, so encompassing, that God will gather the exiles even from the ends of the earth. From there he will bring you back. Even those, in fact, I'll go one further. Even those sleeping in the earth. Turn to Isaiah 18, since you're still in Isaiah, right? Isaiah 18, verse 3, even those who have died in exile and are buried and forgotten, even those will be part of the redemption. How? Well, the Messiah will resurrect them. As it says in Ezekiel, in the chapter of the dry bones, the righteous dead will also hear the sound of the trumpet. Here we have in Isaiah 18, 3, all you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on earth, as soon as a standard is raised on the mountains, you will see it. And as soon as the trumpet is blown, you will hear it. Here's a clue for reading Isaiah. Anytime you see that standard being raised or a signal being raised, think in your mind the sign of the Son of Man. The sign of the Son of Man. It's the same thing. It's the same word. It's the same. This is what Yeshua is referring to, these prophecies of the standard, the signal. It's the sign of the Son of Man. So this verse should be read, if I could make a targum on it for you. All you living inhabitants of the world, and all you dwellers in the earth, you will see the sign of the Son of Man. And when I say dwellers in the earth, I mean those sleeping in the earth. You will see the sign of the Son of Man. You will hear the trumpet. How will the dead see and hear? They'll be raised. According to Rav Saida Gaon, this is the top reason for the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The top of his list is a remembrance of the resurrection of the dead. Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev said, there are those who hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but then there are those who hear the shofar every day of the year. And you know, according to legend, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev sacrificed his life on Rosh Hashanah in a spiritual battle on Rosh Hashanah, a battle with the devil for the sake of the mitzvah of hearing the shofar. It happened in that particular year on Rosh Hashanah of the year 5570, which corresponds to 1809 in the year of our Lord, that when Rabbi Levi Yitzhak called out the blast, Tekiya, the Tokeya tried in vain to blow the shofar, but no sound came out of the trumpet. Others stepped forward to try, but no one could wring a sound from it. They huffed, and they puffed, and they blew, but not a single note would emerge from the trumpet. Finally, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak himself comes and takes the shofar, puts it to his lips, draws in his breath, but he too fails to get a single sound out of the shofar. And at that point, it became clear to him that this was the work of Satan. The devil was involved in this matter. So Rabbi Levi Yitzhak puts down the shofar, he lays it aside, and he turns to Hashem, he turns towards the Holy Ark, and he says to Hashem, Master of the world, in your Torah it's written that we Jews are supposed to blow the shofar on the day which you created man. And we are supposed to hear the sound of the shofar. Now look down upon us, and you'll see that we are all here. We have come to this place with our wives and our children to do your command. But if now we will be denied this, if it happens that we perhaps are no longer your beloved people, well, then let some other people come and blow the shofar before you. Now when the congregation heard these words, it broke their hearts. And they wept from the depths of their hearts, and they turned to God with sincere repentance. Well, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak stood in reverie and in prayer. And after a short time, the rabbi put the shofar to his lips again while the people were still praying and crying out. And this time, it emitted a flawless, pure clarion sound. And after concluding the prayer services, the shofar service and Musaf was over, and the congregation was dismissing from a successful Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak turned to the congregation and said, I vanquished him, the devil. I vanquished him. But it has cost me. Here I am, a sin offering for Israel. And a few weeks later, a few days after Sukkot, he died on Tishrei 25, 55, 70, 205 years ago. It's a legend. I don't know. I mean, the part about him dying is true. I don't know if the legend about the shofar that would not sound is true or not. But like a lot of Hasidic stories, it has a deeper meaning, and this one should be fairly obvious to us. The shofar that would not sound, of course, alludes to the shofar of Messiah, for which we have been waiting to hear a sound come out for these many centuries, which Rabbi Levi Yitzhak yearned to hear his whole life and fervently and passionately prayed for every day, teaching his disciples. There are those who hear the sound of the shofar all year long. Like the shofar in the story, the shofar of Messiah has remained silent for these many centuries while Satan has been unleashed upon the earth, as it says, woe to the earth and woe to the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. The Talmud says that all the appointed times for the Messiah have already come and gone, already elapsed. They have come and gone, and now the matter depends entirely upon repentance. And this is the meaning of the story. Rabbi Levi Yitzhak's words inspired the congregation to pray and to repent with genuine, heartfelt contrition. And only then was the shofar released to make its sound and herald in the new year. And in this story, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak invoked heaven to respond and to fight for his people by asking Hashem if perhaps he would prefer to replace the Jewish people with some other people. Which reminds us, it should remind us that when the redemption comes, even though it's a universal redemption, and all peoples have a share in this through Yeshua, nevertheless, it's a Jewish event on behalf of the Jewish people. That the Messiah comes on behalf of the Jewish people, and the shofar of Messiah that will sound on behalf of the Jewish people. And in the story, Levi Yitzhak faced off against Satan, and it cost him his life. Likewise, our Master Yeshua has dealt with the devil, but it cost him his life. And in the process, he became a sin offering for Israel. And this should remind us of the work of Messiah. The work of Messiah who brings redemption. He brings the blast of the shofar, but he brings that blast of the shofar at a terrible cost. And in the Torah readings for Rosh Hashanah, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we have the story of the terrible cost, the story of the binding of Isaac. Why do we read the story of the binding of Isaac at Rosh Hashanah? The story of the sacrifice of Abraham's son, Isaac. And the sages answer that when Hashem said, do not stretch your hand out against the lad, and he said, you know, he called off the sacrifice at the last minute. Abraham was a little perturbed. And he turned around and he says to God, Master of the universe, I have something to ask for you. You asked me to sacrifice my son. I didn't withhold him. Therefore, when the children of Isaac, my son, sin, when they face trouble, then remember on their behalf what I did here in the binding of Isaac. And regard it as if Isaac's ashes were heaped up on this altar, and forgive their sins and redeem them from their troubles. This is what Abraham says. So, the Holy One, blessed be He, replies to Abraham and says, it will come about that I will judge them on Rosh Hashanah. If they want to invoke some merit and cause me to remember the binding of Isaac, then let them blow a shofar on that day. Abraham asked, what's a shofar? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, turn around and you'll see it. Abraham turned around and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. I believe, you know, from my interpretation of the Midrash, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, the Messiah, a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. As he said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide the lamb, my son. The death of the Messiah purchased the redemption that we long for, that we hear in that shofar sound on Rosh Hashanah. One closing thought. During the high holidays, we too are facing off with the adversary who stands to accuse us for our sins, and they are many. In Isaiah 58, if you want to look at this, Isaiah 58, verse 1, one more passage from Isaiah, we find one more trumpet. This is actually the Haftarah for Yom Kippur, in fact. But Tana Deve Eliyahu Zuta goes on and says, the shofar announces the son of David, Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteousness. The shofar is destined to blow when he leads the exiles out of Israel back to their land. And for that reason, he says, it is also said in Isaiah 58:1, cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a shofar. Cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a shofar, and declare to my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. The verse, a passage from the Yom Kippur reading, reminds us about what the holy days are really all about. That this is an urgent hour of repentance. This isn't just a party. Instead, we are here to set aside our grievances with one another and to absolve one another and to forgive one another at this very hour. To empty our hearts of bitterness and to empty our hearts of injury, and to forgive and let forgiveness well up within you so that you too may be forgiven. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. And we must not let Satan find a foothold. Instead, we should be sober-minded. We should be watchful, because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We should put on the whole armor of God so that we are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And we should not let the sun go down on our anger. We should give no opportunity to the devil. So now, as we prepare to sound the shofar and prepare to make our stand, every man, woman, and child, when you hear the battle cry of the trumpet, do as the Apostle James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. As it says in Zechariah, the Lord said to Satan, Hashem rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Because with the sound of the shofar, we renounce the devil's work in our lives and in our homes and in our midst. We renounce him and his hold over our lives, and we cast him out by the power and authority of the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of God, because today is the day of the shofar. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk in the light of his countenance. May we be among those who hear the shofar of King Messiah every day.
Take on my yoke and learn from me. And find rest for your soul.